I remember the exact moment the air in that office turned sour. It wasn't a slow burn. It was an instantaneous shift, like a circuit breaker flipping in the dark. I was sitting in that cramped, glass-walled fishbowl of an office on the fourth floor, the Dublin rain streaking the windows behind Liam's head. I'd put in 3 years of 60-hour weeks. I'd saved the O'Connell account when it was bleeding out. I'd stayed late every night until the cleaning crews were the only ones left to talk to. And there he was, leaning back in his ergonomic chair, adjusted just high enough to make sure he was looking down at me, telling me that the senior director role was going to someone else. "It's about culture fit, Savon," he'd said. His voice was that specific kind of smooth, rehearsed Irish charm that usually worked on the board. But today it just sounded like a threat. "You're brilliant, truly. But we need someone who's a bit more collaborative." Collaborative. We both knew what that meant. It meant he wanted someone who wouldn't track the discrepancies in his quarterly reports. He wanted a ghost. And I was too loud, too visible, and far too good at his job. I didn't cry. I didn't even argue. I just looked at him. Really looked at the way his expensive tie was knotted just a bit too tight. And I felt something in me snap. That no didn't just end my career trajectory at that firm. It started a war. And I don't think Liam realized that when you deny a woman the seat she's earned, she doesn't just leave the table. She burns the whole room down. The hostility started the very next morning. It wasn't overt at first. It was the little things. I'd walk into the break room, and the conversation would die like a smothered flame. I'd get meeting invites 5 minutes after the call had already started. Then came the emails, the just checking in notes, CCing the entire leadership team, questioning the status of projects I'd finished weeks ago. He was building a paper trail of incompetence where none existed. He was feeding the partners a narrative that I'd become unstable and resentful after being passed over. He was gaslighting me in CC, making it look like I was the one dropping the ball while he was the benevolent manager trying to keep the department afloat. But Liam forgot one thing about me. I keep everything. I have a digital footprint of every thank you he ever sent me, every panicked midnight request he made when he didn't know how to use the software, and every time he told me I was the only thing keeping the department together. He thought he was playing chess, but he was playing with a woman who had the entire board mapped out in Excel spreadsheets. By the second week, the rumors reached the executive level. I heard from a friend in HR that Liam had told them I was harassing the new hire who got the role. It was a lie so bold, it actually made me laugh. I sat at my desk, staring at the back of his head through the glass, and I decided it was time to stop playing defense. If he wanted a war, I was going to give him a scorched earth campaign. I started by responding to his public check-in emails with timestamps. Every time he asked why a report wasn't done, I replied with the date, time, and a screenshot of the folder where I'd uploaded it. And I CC'd the partners back. I made it clinical. I made it undeniable. But he didn't stop. He pushed harder, trying to provoke a reaction, trying to get me to scream or swear so he could finally have the hostile employee evidence he needed to fire me for cause. He cornered me in the hallway near the elevators one Tuesday afternoon, his face red, his voice a low, vibrating hiss. "You think you're clever, don't you? You think those little receipts matter? I built this department, Sihan. I am this department. You're just a disgruntled girl who can't handle a no. Keep pushing me, and I'll make sure you never work in this city again. I'll blackball you from every firm from here to Cork." I didn't blink. I just looked at his hand, which was gripping the doorframe so hard his knuckles were white. "Is that a threat, Liam? Because that sounds like a very expensive conversation for the company to have in court." He sneered, a look of pure, unadulterated hatred crossing his face. And he walked away. That was the turning point. That was when the gloves came off and the knives came out. I spent that night going through my personal archives. I didn't just have work receipts. I had the accidental texts he'd sent me after a few drinks at the Christmas party. The ones that crossed the line into harassment, but I'd ignored because I wanted the promotion. I had the records of him using the company card for client dinners that were actually weekend trips with his mistress. I had it all. The next Monday, I didn't go to my desk. I went straight to the boardroom where the partners were having their weekly strategy session. I didn't ask for permission. I just walked in, placed a thick bound folder on the table, and looked the CEO in the eye. "I think we need to talk about the culture fit in this office," I said. The fallout was a beautiful, chaotic mess. Watching Liam get escorted out of the building by security 3 hours later was better than any promotion they could have offered me. He looked small. He looked broken. He tried to catch my eye as they led him toward the elevators, but I was already sitting at my desk, opening a new document. The war was over, and I was the only one left standing in the ruins.